Hi, Ed Burdett here. As we finish our weekday readings, I want to briefly say that this podcast is a labor of love that's funded entirely by listener donations. Each day of the week, we offer scripture readings, and every Friday, we include a devotional called Reap, where we read, examine, apply, and pray over a section of scripture. If you find value in what we offer, or if you'd like to help spread Bible resources across the world, would you consider supporting us financially? You can do that by visiting oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. Special thanks to our monthly donors who consistently and faithfully offer their support. Once again, that address is oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. Thanks for considering, and now for today's reading. Today's reading begins in Judges, chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The children of Israel did that which was evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of Midian, the children of Israel made themselves the dens which are in the mountains, the caves and the strongholds. So it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east came up against them. They encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, until you come to Gaza. They left no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they came up with their livestock and their tents. They came in as locusts for multitude. Both they and their camels were without number, and they came into the land to destroy it. Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the children of Israel cried to the Lord. When the children of Israel cried to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. And he said to them, "The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out from before you, and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not listened to my voice." The Lord's angel came, and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The Lord's angel appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his wondrous works which our fathers told us of, saying, 'Didn't the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and delivered us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your might, and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Haven't I sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." The Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." He said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Please don't go away until I come to you and bring out my present and lay it before you." He said, "I will wait until you come back." Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes of an ephah of meal. He put the meat in a basket and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out to him under the oak and presented it. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." He did so. Then the Lord's angel stretched out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire went up out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. Then the Lord's angel departed out of his sight. Gideon saw that he was the Lord's angel, and Gideon said, "Alas, Lord God, because I have seen the Lord's angel face to face." The Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Don't be afraid. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take your father's bull, even the second bull 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is by it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this stronghold, in an orderly way, and take the second bull, and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah which you shall cut down." Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had spoken to him. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down, and the Asherah was cut down that was by it, and the second bull was offered on the altar that was built. They said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" When they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon the son of Joash has done this thing." Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, because he has broken down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the Asherah that was by it." Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you save him? He who will contend for him, let him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has broken down his altar." Therefore on that day he named him Jerub-Baal, saying, "Let Baal contend against him, because he has broken down his altar." Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east assembled themselves together, and they passed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Lord's Spirit came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered together to follow him. He sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they also were gathered together to follow him. He sent messengers to Asher, to Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have spoken." It was so, for he rose up early on the next day, and pressed the fleece together, and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Gideon said to God, "Don't let your anger be kindled against me, and I will speak but this once. Please let me make a trial just this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and on all the ground let there be dew." God did so that night, for it was dry on the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, starting in verse 54. They seized him, that is, Jesus, and led him away, and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed from a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and had sat down together, Peter sat amongst them. A certain servant girl saw him as he sat in the light, and, looking intently at him, said, "This man also was with him." He denied Jesus, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him, and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter answered, "Man, I am not." After about 1 hour passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Truly, this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the Lord's word, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and wept bitterly. The men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. Having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" They spoke many other things against him, insulting him. As soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders of the people were gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you won't believe, and if I ask, you will in no way answer me or let me go. From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say it, because I am." They said, "Why do we need any more witness? For we ourselves have heard from his own mouth." The whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting the nation, forbidding paying taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "So you say." Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitudes, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, even to this place." But when Pilate heard Galilee mentioned, he asked if the man was a Galilean. When he found out that he was in Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem during those days. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, because he had heard many things about him. He hoped to see some miracle done by him. He questioned him with many words, but he gave no answers. The chief priests and the scribes stood, vehemently accusing him. Herod with his soldiers humiliated him and mocked him. Dressing him in luxurious clothing, they sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before that they were enemies with each other. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. Oh, come, let's sing to the Lord. Let's shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let's extol him with songs. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, and the sheep in his care. Today, oh, that you would hear his voice. Don't harden your heart, as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, tested me, and saw my work. 40 long years I was grieved with that generation, and said, they are a people who err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they won't enter into my rest. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory amongst the nations, his marvelous works amongst all the peoples. For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say amongst the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is also established. It can't be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and its fullness. Let the field and all that is in it exult. Then all the trees of the woods shall sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, the peoples with his truth. Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 5. A truthful witness will not lie, but a false witness pours out lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and doesn't find it, but knowledge comes easily to a discerning person.